afterwards, he offered one of these little books, 1776, from 1976. We have a number left. If you didn't get one, we'd like to have one for a family. So if you'll see that one member of your family gets one at the end, I think you'll have them over here both sides of the auditorium. I hope you'll get one of these little books. Now shall we turn over in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail thee to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Notice that. Wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens or their enemies. A couple of other scriptures I'd like to read, but I'll just quote them. You find over in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And also there's a lovely text in Timothy, or rather in Psalm chapter 11, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now this is my message for the bicentennial. Friday morning at 10 o'clock, I was going to speak on, as I mentioned last Sunday, I had made up a mind to go on through with the Corinthian studies, but about 10 o'clock on Friday morning, I thought, well, maybe we should speak on the bicentennial day or the birthday, celebrating the birthday of this great nation. I don't think I'll be around for the tri-centennial. And I wasn't here for the first century of this great country's birthday. So I'll have what I say this morning on the bicentennial. I called into the Albany Herald and asked if there was still time to change my subject. And the man went to the printing department and came back. He says, yes. I said, all right. And the first thing I could think of in this connection was the hymn we were singing, as you saw on the paper, Faith of Our Fathers Living Still. You know, it's remarkable when you think of the birth of a nation. The first nation that had a birthday as such and of interest to God is the nation of Israel. Prior to that birthday of that nation in the 12th of Exodus, they were just families and tribes. And I'm going to read a verse to you over in Genesis 46 and verses 3 and 4. And God said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt. How wonderful for the Almighty God to say of a certain people, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will be with thee. And no nation is great unless God is with that nation. And so we have the birthday of the first nation we know of on earth, the nation of interest and concern to God. Simply because through this nation we got the Bible. Through the nation of Israel we got our Savior. And through this nation we'll have our King in the day to come. How wonderful then that God has promised a nation. He selected that nation. And it's the only nation with a real future. God never made promises to any other nation for the future that Israel has been promised. I don't know whether you took time to read the editorial last night. I thought it was remarkable. I clipped it out. because you'll notice how everything is migrating to the Middle East. And that little nation, more prosperous and more powerful today than any time in her history, other great civilizations have come and gone, they've been born and died, but the little nation of Israel has survived the centuries. And he said this relative to the situation of the world. Just one paragraph. What is the pronouncement for today? The Middle East constitutes the most explosive area on earth. All those Arab countries are, with all their money, are buying up all kinds of armaments. Airplanes, some of the best, are even getting to know something about nuclear energy. And there's a place this world has got to walk. Now, the United States is a wonderful nation, a wonderful country. But that's where the final battle is going to be. And because of those nations and their great resources in oil, they've got untold wealth, and they're buying armaments and weapons of destruction. Going to show another indication of the emergence of Israel and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful to think of the great civilization that we live in today. The United States had her birthday 200 years ago. And one can only thank God for Israel, or for this nation rather, and the place she has had in history. Because people fled from bondage and slavery and tyranny on the continent and came to this country paying a terrific price for coming over here and enjoying liberty, free from political and religious bondage and tyranny over in Europe. And so they came here, and in God's calendar, or on God's calendar, a mere 2,000 years, or 2 days, or 200 years rather, just a few minutes in the reckoning of God. The Declaration of Independence was drawn up and signed by that noble group of men. They had passed through much agony of mind and of heart. And they drew up that wonderful article, that wonderful manuscript, that document known as the Proclamation of Independence. And what those fathers were interested in was the foundation of a coming nation. They were interested in that Declaration of Independence and how long would it last. That's why they sought to put everything into the foundation of this nation. And they did a wonderful job. I don't think there is an article gone into print to surpass it, the Declaration of Independence. And the thing that they were so particular about, going over every word, dotting every I and crossing every T, they spent hours and hours in prayer seeking divine guidance for that marvelous document that we praise God for to this day. Why the earnestness about these men and their great concern for this document? Because they knew, and I suppose they felt, that this document would last and never be destroyed, never cease to be effective on the people of this nation. But that's not the case. In this little book, that some of you already have, and you'll get one at the end if you didn't get one, you'll find how he refers to that document and how these founding fathers wanted to embed those principles in rock. And they speak of a certain expansion bridge, or this brother does, And how does a certain expansion bridge in his world, I don't know which one he has reference to, and the great cables of that expansion bridge are embedded in solid rock. Not concrete, but solid rock. I'd like to know where it is. But I do know something about another bridge. And it's a world-renowned bridge, and that's the Ambassador Bridge. It runs from Detroit over to Windsor, Canada, and I've crossed it many times every time I go north, and when I come back, and Lord willing, in a week or two, I'll be crossing it again. But I remember when it was being built. You almost thought it's impossible for such an expanse without pillars could cross the Detroit River. And do you know there were hundreds of heavy cables inside a huge tube? And that tube went to concrete, thousands of tons of concrete, about 100 foot square, and those cables inside that tube went of a quarter of a mile into the Canadian side and the same on the other side. Why did they do it? And of course, at a time, these plants was because going up to the expanse on the other side coming up. Simply because they knew the tremendous pressure that was going to be upon those cables. Would it stand the test? Would it stand the strain? And with some apprehension, the day came when they were going to test. My sister Olive, my eldest sister, who passed away 3 years ago, she was among the first of that great crowd that started from the Canadian side. Equal out to that, a crowd came from the Detroit side. The dignitaries at the fore, they came to the line in the middle of that bridge, the Canadian and the American. And the line, you crossed it to the one or the other, and the two flags are flying there today. But she told me herself, she said the bridge was packed with humanity. And that's the only time they recall it ever swayed. Millions and millions of people have crossed that great bridge since then. That heavenly was its greatest test, packed with humanity. They stood the test. But remember the Ambassador Bridge will someday break. It can't last forever. Here's a foundation. Why will it not last forever? Because man made it. And it's got to yield to time. When they built the great Colosseum in Rome, they call it the Eternal City. They thought when they built that hundreds of years ago, it would never crack, it would never yield to time, but it has. They don't have enough money today, nor the men to replace that Eternal City. Everything man has built will crumble in due course. And so we find these foundations upon which man builds and trusts. They're made by men, they're going to yield. We only know too well that the Declaration of Independence a mere 200 years, and this nation is beginning to crumble. Those remarkable expressions on that document do not have the importance nor the grip upon the hearts of the Americans at one time. And if this nation declines in the next 25 years, as it has in the 25 years past, I don't think you'll have a tricentennial. This document, this wonderful document, has lost its power, its grip on the heart of the people of America. Foreign nations no longer tremble at that marvelous doctrine, or do they envy as they once did. In other words, it's facing its test today. I don't think there's a day since this declaration was written that that declaration has been under such a stress and a strain and a test as today. What a shame to think of how people have departed from that wonderful doctrine. We look around today, we see the rise in crime. We see all that's going on in the political arena. The scandals, the cover-ups, the payoffs. Things are going on today make you blush. Unthought of 50 years ago. In the religious world, in the political world, the entertainment world, and all the news media. Oh, the filth and the corruption that are coming out over the tubes and the airwaves to feed our youth. Foundations of this nation are being destroyed. He's passing this. And if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Nothing. Nothing. But how one loves to think of another foundation. What foundation is that? That's the foundation upon which we as Christians put our confidence and put our trust. Here is a foundation that cannot be destroyed. What's in this foundation? Well, there's a lot in this foundation, and all I can say is the only reason God has spared this country as He spared England, He has a purpose. When I was a boy going to school, we used to sing every day almost, Britannia rules the waves. That was little England. Britannia rules the waves, and she did, with her great navy. How we loved to sing that and put out our little chest to hear that we were part of a little nation of some 40 million of people at that time in that little isle off the mainland of Europe. Her sea lanes of commerce, her paths of her navy were like spider webs going in every direction all over the world where she had her colonies. And her proud navy was unchallenged. Britannia rules the way. And she did back then. The color of England on those maps was red. And you could look over the map of the world and oh, you thought of that little spot. And to think about England. In the Second World War, because England began her decline at the First World War. Now she no longer rules the waves. She's been overtaken by the United States and Russia. But back in those days, when you think of how Britain used to rule the world practically with her navy, and went in and conquered country after country after country. Back in the Second World War, I had a strong leader with me. The name was Ray Schuster. And he was all the time plugging for Hitler. And of course, that didn't sit well with me, an Englishman. Anything that came out in favor of the Allies, he would ridicule, just propaganda. Anything that came out favorable or against Hitler, he would say, nothing, that's not true. So one day, I said to him, Ray, he used to bring up how England went in and conquered these countries with her navy and her arms. I said, Ray, do you know what happened when England went in and conquered these lands and these countries and made these colonies? No, he said, what happened? I said, the missionaries with their Bibles went in after the army and after the navy. Great Britain opened up all her colonies for the Word of God and for the missionaries. And from that little scarlet isle, missionaries went all over the world. I said, what's following your Hitler army? Carnage, bloodshed, atheism. And I said, if Hitler wins this war, it'll be a sad day in the history of the world. England always opened up ways. That was the policy of the count. Whenever we conquered countries, it was opened up for the Bible and the missionaries and everything. General Allenby was the man, that very general, who took over Jerusalem. When he went in, he lifted his hat as he walked into that holy city, not a shot was fired. Great Britain had her day, but her sun is setting. This country seems to replace England. She's standing up for the Jewish nation. And God has made it plain that any nation that curses Israel, God will curse. Any nation that blesses Israel, God will bless. Hitler went down in the bath of blood because he killed 6 million Jews. The United States, thank God, is standing for Israel. And God will stand with her. How she stood the test she's recently passed through, I know not. Those awful days of a few years ago when our college campuses erupted with rebels. And every fiber of this great nation was tested. And then the Vietnam War. And Waterloo. But she still stands. And today, wherever the United States, her flag flies, there's freedom for the Word of God and for missionaries. And today, the United States is the main base for foreign missions and missionaries. There are more missionaries going out from the United States today than any nation. Yes, and more money is going out to the missionaries on foreign fields from this country. For I believe there are more born-again Christians in the United States than any nation on earth. The United States has a great opportunity. But don't forget, the devil's got his eye and aim set on this country. And she's beginning to crumble at the foundation. They're out to destroy the Declaration of Independence. The day's going to come when that flag will no longer flutter over our proud capital. Oh, the corruption at the heart of our nation. It's got to fall. Sin is a reproach to any people. How long it'll take, only God knows. But this is America's hour. And if the United States were to go down, all the money that leaves its shores, the missionaries that leave this land, would either have to just come home or be murdered on foreign fields by nations, anti-Christ, anti-God and anti-Bible. How wonderful to know that this country, and we need to pray for this country, that God will spare. We're getting back to foundations that I want to speak on that are more important to me than any other. That is the foundations that Christians have. We have a Declaration of Independence. We have foundation stones that are vital, not only to ourselves as individuals, but to this nation and to the world. And if these foundations be destroyed, what will the righteous do to stay buried? Just as the people on that ambassador bridge trusted that great expanse, just like Israel, when she came up out of Egypt, she was delivered from bondage and slavery by the blood of the Lamb and the power of God. So I believe this nation was started by men of God, behind a lot of prayer, no doubt about that, that they might perpetuate the Bible and these spiritual foundations. And if these spiritual foundations are destroyed, what are we going to do, the Christians? In other words, we rested our all upon these foundations. I rest my all upon these foundations. What are they? I'm resting my all for eternity upon the inspiration of the Bible. It's under attack, this blessed book. Yes, it's the word of the living God. I believe everything in that Bible from Genesis to Revelation. That is under attack, and it has been, but it still stands. That's the foundation the devil would like to destroy. None of this stuff about it contains the Word of God. It is the Word of God. God breathed. That's one strand of the mighty cable that I am trusting for eternity. Then the other is the deity of Jesus Christ. Yes, the deity of Jesus Christ. He was the eternal Son of God. He was with the Father in eternity past. He says that himself no less than 7 times in John 1. His beginning was not at Bethlehem. He was with the Father in eternity past. He was equal with God. Friend, that is essential if we're going to survive as Christians in this world. And if the Bible's going to survive, because that's the very power of the Word to do away with that. The Bible's lost its foundation. Another foundation is his virgin birth. Born of a virgin, yes. Born of a virgin. With no earthly father. Conceived by the Holy Spirit. That's another strand or another chain. For these precious truths upon which we rest. Then the blood atonement of Christ. His going to the cross and shedding his precious blood. Yes, that crimson fluid that flowed through Emmanuel's veins. That's the only way a man can be saved. The precious blood of Christ. His atonement at the cross is another case. And it'll stand. And there's another, and that is his resurrection. How wonderful the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He rose from the dead. His body was changed. He had a glorified body. And he came forth from the dead to prove he was the Son of the living God. He said, I have power to lay down my life. I have power to take it up again. No man in the history of the world or the human race ever took up his life and came out of the grip of death. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the Spirit coming. How the Spirit came on the day of Pentecost to give birth not to a nation, but to the church. And yet Peter speaks of it as a holy nation, a peculiar people. And so it is a spiritual nation. And the spiritual nation known as the church had his birthday on the day of Pentecost. And as Israel became a nation when the blood was shed in Egypt and applied on the upper nipple and the two side posts, and by the power of God they were brought out of Egypt, that was the birthday of the first nation. Blood was the basis of that birth, and the power of God is deliverance. And the birthday of the church, a spiritual nation, took place 2,000 years on the day of Pentecost. Again, the blood of Christ is the basis of its life. The church, which he purchased with his own blood, and it took the power of God to raise the one who shed his blood, and it's the power of God through the Spirit that applies the effectiveness and efficaciousness of that blood to the one who believes. And so we find these wonderful foundations. The Spirit's coming. He's a person. And I think 13 times in a few verses, Brother Beck read on Wednesday night, you have the masculine pronoun, he. He. Him. In only about 5 verses, referring to the personality of the Holy Spirit. Yes, these are foundation truths. Also the fact of the new birth. That's a foundation truth. That's another mighty cable that supports the bridge over which we pass from death to life, from earth to heaven. How wonderful, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, he cannot. It's an absolute impossibility for anyone to go to heaven on the basis of his good life or his good character or any righteousness he has. The word of God, remember, this table is just as essential as the other tables we've mentioned, such as the virgin birth, his blood atonement, his resurrection. Yes! It's just as essential. Man cannot save himself. He's got to be quickened by the Holy Spirit of God, or he'll never enter heaven. There's only blood-washed sons are there to ransom and forgive. Then another mighty savior, Christ coming again. He's coming and he's coming soon. Make no mistake about that. The stage is being set. Nations are taking their place on the stage. And soon the curtains will pop and the Son of God will come. And everyone who's washed in the precious blood of Christ and born of the Spirit will be caught up to meet him in the air. If you're not saved, I don't care how good you are, you'll be left behind for judgment. So the coming again of the Lord Jesus, and then our being glorified with him, a body like his, that's another mighty table. And these tables will not yield. Declaration of independence has lasted 200 years, and it's cracking. It yields to this whims and fancies of men. But this table and this foundation will never crack. It can never yield. It'll stand the test of time. It'll stand the test of eternity. Here are these foundation truths. Oh, how wonderful. If, he tells us, if the foundation be destroyed, if, hypothetically, if, means a question mark. Paul brings out another text over in 1 Corinthians 15:4. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain and your faith is vain. If, hypothetical if. But But friend, that is slaughter and knocked down by what Paul says over in 2 Timothy 2:9. He says, and it's a triumphant assertion, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Anything in the way of a hypothetical nature is knocked over with this fact. God knows them that are his. Because we're resting upon this mighty foundation. These tables can never yield, nor snap, nor age, nor corrode, or erode. These are just shining steel. After 2 billion years, these tables will be just as strong as they are today. This foundation can never pass away. Christ says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. How wonderful. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous or the Christian do? Nothing. But our foundation will never be destroyed. Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not be prevailed against. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. And as we see the crumbling principles of the Declaration of Independence and the slow but sure decline and decay of this mighty country, friend, there's no sign of any decay in the Constitution upon which we rest, the Word of the Living God. Someday, the stars and stripes will cease to fly. The national anthem will no longer be sung. But just as sure as this nation was born 200 years ago, just as sure will she die. Because man is a failure. But when it comes to the anthem, the national anthem of God's people, it'll sing and ring forever. The hallelujah call. Because it cannot fail. It will not fail. How confident we can be. I know one thing, I'll never be here in the next 100 years when the tricentennial comes round, and I doubt if our flag will fly then. And I don't have any idea I'll be here 25 years from now, or maybe 10. It makes no difference to me. I'm a happy man. I know my sins forgiven. I'm on the way to heaven. I know that. I've got God's word for it. Not one strand of one cable will yield. My faith rests upon this blessed book. What God declared, and before I could be lost, God would have to tell a lie. For him to do that, he would cease to be God, and the universe would collapse. It is impossible for God to lie. And he tells me, and he does, that if I accept his Son, I have everlasting life, and I'll never perish. That's solid ground for me. Friend, I trust you're planted, and your feet of faith are planted firmly upon this solid foundation. If the foundations be destroyed, what could the righteous do? Nothing. But their greatest triumph would be when the Lord comes. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is the reproach of any people. We've mentioned the birth of a nation, the birth of the church, but God is interested in the birth of the individual, because the church is made up of individuals. When were you born again? Don't tell me when you joined the church. That's insignificant. When did you pass from death unto life? When did you put all your faith, your confidence, your hope in the precious blood of Christ? When did you have a personal acquaintance with Jesus Christ? And he came into your heart, and you knew you were a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's it. When were you born again? Just as Israel, as the first nation that God recognized, was delivered from bondage through blood and his power. Just as the church was born 2,000 years on the basis of the blood of Christ and his power. So the individual is saved today on the basis of the blood and the power of God. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone. That believes. What are you going to do this morning with our Lord Jesus Christ? That's the question. I've read a lot about patriotism and this great country. I've heard and read speeches of statesmen, of presidents, of theologians, and so on, historians. And they use these two words. They say what our nation needs to do is get back to God. What our nation needs is a revival of religion. It doesn't need that at all. It's already got too much religion. Why don't they go back to Bible language? What this world needs is the Lord Jesus Christ. What this world needs is Christianity, not religion. For religion today, many of these religious organizations are fighting to Christianity. When did you hear one of these men use the name the Lord Jesus Christ? It's not religion. You'll tell me I needed religion to take me to heaven. I have a good right to say which one. Point is this, there's only one Savior. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one foundation you can rest upon for eternity. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Take him out of your Bible and it's just another book. Take him out of the world. All you've got is a dead planet flying through the space with its human cargo on to eternal oblivion. Jesus Christ is your only hope. And unless you've got 100% faith and trust in him, you're not a Christian. God wants you to put all your faith, all your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the foundation is laid at Calvary. And only what built on that foundation the test of time and decay. Oh, that you'd be patriotic to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this Constitution, or this Declaration of True Independence and Liberty. Will you take Christ? Will you do so this morning, right now? And you'll leave here a happy person. God help you, Jesus. That he says. Our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come into thy presence. We thank thee for thy precious holy word. As we look around us and we see the condition that are on the right hand and on the left. Oh God, we just thank thee for the stability and the assurance we have in Jesus Christ. A rock that can never yield in the storm of time. A rock so battered by the waves of man's intellectualism. Oh God, it stands majestically amid the storms of time. On its face, all the ways of men's knowledge have broken on its shore. We thank thee for this rock we have, thy precious holy word. May some this morning who are drifting in life's turbulent sea, O God, may they come to Christ.